Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome to New Life Live. It is another one of those special programs where we have our good friend, Dr. John Townsend, on the program. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve.
And also, we have the very wonderful and wise Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hey, Jill, how are you? And I can't really hear you guys.
I know. I was wondering about that.
Checking
okay, can
two.
You hear us now?
It's probably a little bit better.
Hi,
yeah.
Guys.
Hey, hi,
deal.
Steve. Hi, John.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're actually in the studio now.
Yes,
anyway, if anybody wants to join us, as some people already are, 1-800-229-3000. We would love for you to come. And while I'm at it, let me just tell you that we've had this matching fund for so long, and we got the whole thing matched up. So we're really excited about that. And I want to tell you this, though. If you want to give a gift, whatever your gift is, I'm going to send you this great little book, Growth Has No Boundaries. And I got to tell you, you'll never know that until you start the growth process. And here's what I believe. I believe everybody needs a growth plan. And if you don't have that plan and you don't have the equipment, the tools, well, not going to go too well. But this one, John, talk to us about how this can equip a person to truly grow or give them the path to growth.
Well, Steve, everybody has challenges and issues and that sort of thing. And so when Henry and I wrote this, we want to let people know that all of the information that we need to grow spiritually, relationally, emotionally, in our careers, is fundamentally already been written in the Scriptures, and so we provide a theological background for basically recovery and growth. And we love the research, just like you and me and Jill love the research from science. But basically, science has got to ultimately bend its knee to the Bible. So we just assure people: here's what the Bible says about what it says about growth, and there are no boundaries to God's growth.
Yeah, I think only pseudoscience would conflict with things in Scripture,
right.
And the real thing supports it. Just like archaeology, they're absolutely never going to uncover something that says, oh, well, that's not right about Scripture. So
that's why they call theology the queen of the sciences, actually.
There you are.
Because
I love that.
Philosophy and all the others are great, but they're not the queen.
Yeah, I was reminding somebody the other day,
right,
you know, evolution
right.
In the form that people talk about, not just within a species, but evolution from species to species. It's still a theory. It's not fact. And here's something that is fact, that God is love, and God has sent his Son. And if we accept what his Son did on the cross for us, and we tell people about that, according to Romans 10:9, we will be saved. He will have paid the penalty for it. That's a pretty nice thing about Christianity. People say, I don't like Christianity. Well, what part? The part that God comes down to earth and dies for you? The part where we're told to love people as ourselves? What they're really saying, I think, is I don't like some of the representatives of Christianity, and we're always
well. They've got a point there.
Right,
yeah,
right.
We're working on that.
the reps are kind of a problem sometimes.
Yeah, they are. All right, 1-800-229-3000. There was a guy that had a theory that he didn't eat any food. He didn't need food. He got his nutrients from the air. And the society was called a breatharian society. They caught him sneaking out, eating a Snickers from a local gas station. And it pretty much ended the movement there. Anyway, you're not going to find us at a gas station. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. If you want to join us, we'd love for you to be here. 1-800-229-3000. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn.
The Snickarians.
Yeah.
Snickarians.
The Snickarians. I like that. We'll be back right after this with your phone calls.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk to Lois here in just one moment, but I want to mention to you that Saturday is Lose It for Life. And so if you want to lose the weight for good forever, everything that we've been talking about for years here has been substantiated and confirmed as accurate by science and research. And just now you see some commercials on TV talking about gradual changes that I can maintain. That's what we've been talking about for years. So come join us. You know, you didn't get the freshman 15. You gained the COVID-19. We can help you get rid of the COVID-19 right here. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about it. I'll be doing that Saturday. Come join me. Let's go to Lois. Lois is calling from Pensacola, Florida, and she watches us on Facebook Live. Hi, Lois. How are you?
I'm great, Steve, and hello, everyone there. And thank you for taking my call today.
Hi, Lois.
You're welcome. How can we help?
Well, I have a question, and this is it. It's how do you know if you are ready to date? I realize that's kind of broad.
Mm-hmm.
I've had not good success in my adult dating relationships. I'm not 65. Whoops, I'm 56. That around. And it's COVID. I call it COVID thinking. And I haven't dated in 8 years because I think partially fear and maybe I wasn't ready. You know, like I was working on things, and I feel mm-hmm. like I've made a lot of progress in the last 4 years, a lot. And I just wonder, is there, you know, someone out there for me that together we could be and do more for God than alone? And, you know, it's not really fun to be single sometimes,
yeah.
but I'm content. So I'm not sure what to do here.
Let me ask you a quick question, then we'll turn it over to Jill and John. What are you afraid of?
Well, you know that that mentally ill thing you talk about that happens when you fall in love?
Yeah.
That kind of happens to me.
Okay.
And I'm bipolar, so it happens in a bad way, and I end up kind of shooting off the rails. And I really have no desire to go off the rails.
Yeah.
So I think that's my fear. That is my main reason, Steve.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with you, Jill, and then we'll go to John on what you think is a good indicator for starting dating or just anything you want to know about her before we go on.
Well, Lois, I like what you're saying in terms of having worked on yourself and being really honest about your fear, because it is an unknown, and especially, I'm assuming you've been divorced? Is that
correct? I have been, yes.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. And the divorce, was that 8 years ago? Is that, or
oh, no,
was that farther?
That was back in 95. I haven't been married since 1995.
Okay, so you have dated then in between. So you're saying, but it's been an 8 year window. Like you took a hiatus.
Yeah, and most of the dating was year windows because I would actually sometimes end up in the hospital after trying to date. Yeah.
Well, that makes a lot of sense that you would be afraid. You know, with all that you've learned, I would really encourage you to do some things differently based on the things that you have learned and to have a team around you, right? You know, with struggling with bipolar, you have a medical team, a psychological team. Where is your support team of other women that can keep you in check as you venture into those
mm-hmm.
waters?
Mm-hmm. I do have that now.
Okay.
Much more. I mean, it's hard with the pandemic.
Of course.
I am actively friendships, close family. I'm actually living with my daughter, which is new. Okay. She is.
So you have a lot of people that can recognize the signs of when you're. I'm sorry. You have a lot of people that can recognize the signs of when you're going off the rails.
Oh yes. Okay. Yes, and I'm much more able to catch myself because I have no desire to do it. It's not really that fun. It's fun for 5 minutes, as we say, and then
Okay. So what are you waiting for?
I don't know. To be honest, I'm thinking, well, this might be better because if I'd looked into online dating, that would slow things down because it's not like you can go out and spend hours and hours with a person.
True. Mm-hmm. That is true. Well, let's have John weigh in here on this and see what he's thinking.
Sure.
John, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Lois, are you currently do you currently have a psychotropic medication regimen?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yes. All right. Let me give you, and I'm kind of teeing off of what Steve and Jill said. I have kind of a formula for all this. It's four pieces if you like to write things down, for example.
I do.
All right. Part one is satisfactory progress. And you'll see what it means as we continue. Part one is satisfactory progress. Part two is in identified issues. Could be acting out, could be depression, could be anxiety, but satisfactory process is one in identified issues. In other words, you got to know what your issues are. You just can't say, well, I have issues. That's the forest and the trees. Number three is vetted by a therapist and safe people. Jill mentioned the community. Mm-hmm. So people that are clinical that go, yeah, you're ready to go, and people around you that go, yeah, you're ready to go. So that's the third part. And then fourth is continuing the path of growth and healing you're on. Those are my formula. Mm-hmm. That's a little more comprehensive in terms of, then you can look at it four and go, oh, I need to work on number three or whatever. But if you've got all those four in place, I like what Jill says. What are you waiting for?
Well, and it's not just you're going to dive into the deep end, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to take a step. Stick your toe in the water and then pause, check it out, look around, check in with your team, and then take a next step, right? So that you bring them along with you.
I think it really helps to have a healthy male that you want to date. Mm. You know, not just, am I ready to date?
True.
You're not ready to date until a healthy man comes up. So you need the plan. You also need the man. Then you can. I mean, that's kind of the...
You can take a stand, really.
You can take a stand. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Steve, I love that because it's not a light switch you can turn on and off. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. People are always asking, are you dating? Well, yeah, I'm not dating, right? You know, is kind of the thing.
So, well, you know, I think maybe a more appropriate question would be, are you meeting?
That's
am
a better
I willing
question.
To meet somebody? Yeah. Yeah, I'm willing to meet somebody. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean I'm going to date them. Mm-hmm. But that's where this bevy of support, your therapist, your girlfriends that can say, hey, did you notice that this guy is wearing hate material? No, I didn't. I thought that was him. So, because you do get mentally ill. So I really do think, you know, when I was tragically betrayed, abandoned, and divorced, I had a committee. I had Jill, I had John, Henry, Dave Stoop. I had all these people. And, you know, I was so mistreated. I really was. Mm-hmm. These guys were afraid the first person that was nice to me, I would want to marry them just because they'd be nice. And so I had to commit to date a lot of people before I settled on one person. So there were safeguards there. There was input. What do you think about this? I remember John expressing his opinion to my mother about Misty, and it was a good opinion. And our pastor,
great opinion.
Our pastor was very big on the relationship. And my mom, after Misty stayed with her in the small little tiny cabin on the cruise ship, said, Steve, I think everybody ought to be married to someone like her. That's the kind of thing that makes it right versus the concept of dating. So how are you going to meet the man that fits the plan based on how you've taken your stand? Well, I think you do need to look at some Christian dating sites.
Yeah.
And I think you need to tell your girlfriends, okay, I'm ready, expecting them to not be able to connect you with anybody you're interested in. I remember going on a date with somebody that four different people told me, this is the person you are. And she was the meanest woman I think I ever dated. So anyway, it all has to come together and work together for it to work. And I'm really glad you're asking the question rather than just...
Yeah, right. I love it that Lois is asking the right questions. Lois, I can't tell you, if you've been listening to the show for a while, goodness gracious, we got people who they jump in and then they say, man, maybe I need to think about this. Well, you're thinking before you're jumping, so bully for you.
Well we have people say that they're engaged and they want to know if it's okay if they start dating. So we have a lot of weird stuff other than
not
this.
Lois.
So this is good, not her. Mm-hmm.
But Lois, it also, the fact that you're talking about it and you're imagining
it,
right? You're preparing yourself and you're starting to be open. And you're starting to say, maybe I can be more open than fearful. Right? Because fear shuts us down, right? We don't look people in the eye. We pull away. We kind of have a sign out that says unavailable without even realizing it.
Right.
So you have to have kind of this, you know, energy of openness that says, no, I'm open to meeting someone.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to send you, is this the one? I think you'll like it. Mm-hmm. It's really going to help you with some guidelines and things like that. I hope it does help you. But, you know, no matter how long it's been since you've dated before, you really want to be sure that whatever has happened in the past, like you were saying, you know, it hasn't always worked out well, that you're not dragging those, any resentments, bitterness, any fears into the current relationships. You really want to be sure that you have dealt with them adequately. And I'm really happy for you. I believe in dating. You know, a lot of people might say, I don't think so. Yes, because it really helps you get to know.
Oh, you've always been pro-dating.
Pro-dating. And some people that haven't been pro-dating turn out to not be pro-Christ. It's really weird how that worked out. So anyway, you stay in touch with us. And, you know, great thing to do. Finding Freedom is 2 weekends from this weekend, and that's a great place to clear up any of these kinds of little issues there. 1-800-229-3000. We're in the studio for 2 hours here with Dr. John Townsend. 1-800-229-3000. And, you know, guys, during this virus, I just was talking to my psychiatrist who helps me with attention deficit disorder medication. He said he's never been busier, and that anxiety is off the charts with people that were coming to him anyway. So they, you know, they're seeing a psychiatrist, and so they've got some issues. But he was saying the anxiety is just horrendous. What, from your perspective, is the best way for somebody who's starting to get overwhelmed with anxiety? What is something that they could do that might turn that around?
Well, I think when you start to get overwhelmed, it's like this flood of, you know, a flood of emotion, a flood of thoughts, a flood of not being able to handle it, so fear. Mm-hmm. And so you have to kind of slow down, stop, and regroup. And realize that you're starting to, you know, because people start to build like that wall of catastrophe, like, or they start to, you know, build the mountain of all the things they have to do. And so you have to really make your world really small by doing one thing, because one thing then can help propel you to something else. So if you can just stop and just do one thing, that will help get you to shift your mind.
John, any thought here on reducing anxiety?
Very, very quick trick. I got a bunch of these that I've learned from the research. Is to tell yourself, I am not this feeling. I have this feeling. It's not me. It's not I'm not a little kid covered by anxiety. Oh, I have some anxiety. And when you do that, what you do is you put it in its proper place. I need to pay attention to it, but it's not me. It'll help you. That doing that little trick will reduce the anxiety to a manageable level quite often, unless it's severe.
All right. Now, if you yell at somebody, you can't say, "That's not me. That's just my anxiety." You got to take ownership. We'll be back. 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We don't often have John in with us, and I hope that you'll call 1-800-229-3000. Before I go to Brian, I just want to mention that you can get up close and personal with John by being part of the Townsend Institute of Leadership and Counseling. This is in concordance with Concordia University. Dr. Townsend Live is on, what day are you on, John?
Every Wednesday, 2 to 4 Pacific time.
Okay. And then there's the Townsend Leadership Program. Mm-hmm. And the website to find out about everything, John, is where?
DrTownsend.com.
Okay.
They're all there.
We believe in what John is doing, and we support him, and he is a truth teller, a purveyor of wisdom. That's Dr. Townsend. Let's go to Brian. Sirius XM, he's from West Virginia. Hi, Brian, you're on. How could we help?
Hey, good afternoon. Just some questions. I'm in a relationship currently with a lady who is divorced. She has three children, one of which lives full-time with their father, and then she shares custody with twin 11-year-olds. You know, some of the issues that she's facing are little to no structure in the home. She doesn't have a discipline. There's a lot of guilt there on her part. The reason the relationship ended was due to infidelity on her part. And I'm just looking for some tools, some guidance. I think she just feels very helpless and hopeless in her situation.
Well, how do you feel about dating someone that was not faithful? Do you have any worries about that?
No, honestly, I don't. I know that there's no justification in that, but I do know that you know, her ex was verbally and emotionally abusive to her. Not that that gives her a reason or a right, but mm-hmm. I think that it's certainly understandable in some situations.
Okay. So the question is how to support her? Was that the question?
Correct, yes. Where can we get help for her on structure in her home? She doesn't know how to parent as far as, you know, these children have been exposed to an awful lot, probably more than they ever should have been. Every time there's any kind of an argument, these children throw this stuff back up in her face, and it's just heartbreaking to see this, you know. She's, I'm sure, punished herself enough over this.
Are you familiar with the book Boundaries, Brian?
No.
I wrote a book called Boundaries with Henry Cloud, my writing partner. And there's a specific one called Boundaries with Kids, which means kids that are dependent on you. And it has an in-depth look at what the science and the Bible say about positive discipline and consequences that are realistic along with love. And it just gives you a path. Sold many, many copies. You guys can read it together. You get a copy, she got a copy, and you guys talk about it. All the skills are there, and all of the answers are there.
These kids are young?
Two twins are still dependent in shared custody. Okay. The other one's emancipated.
Because your boundaries with teens, I have to admit, I've read it in the middle of the night before.
Oh, thank
you. It's very helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, let me send you a copy of Boundaries. I think you'll like that. And I'll just go ahead and send you this Growth Has No Boundaries book. But here's the thing. You know, you don't want to be too much into dating the person that is out of control in so many areas that you're listening.
Right.
You know, we all want to be a hero, but you don't want to be so much of a hero that you know, you're rescuing, and then she's not growing because you stepped in too much too soon. Jill, what are you,
right.
what did,
well,
you going to say?
Well, you know, Brian, I do know yeah. people are more than their resume of mistakes, right? And so, you know, but you coming
That's well said.
You want to
Very
make
well
sure,
said.
I think what Steve is saying, you don't want to be come in as the parent, right? So you can mm-hmm. offer her some
yeah,
things, and you,
exactly.
you know, you have to watch and see what does she do with it. Does she like to be in the, or does she tend to gravitate to being helpless? And so you, it elicits kind of a rescuing response from you? Or will she take some input and go, okay, yeah, I'm going to grab hold of this? Like getting other people in places to help her. She needs to be in counseling and therapy, to someone
Absolutely.
To walk beside her to help her make some of these, you know, decisions and to start to get a hold
I've
of the parenting.
I've encouraged that for several months. I've encouraged her to get her daughter and her son into therapy with her. And it's just been very slow in getting her to actually do that.
See, that's what the problem is, what Steve is saying.
That's kind of the yellow flag we're all we think she's a fine person and you're a fine person, but we got a little couple of yellow flags here, Brian, about kind of her interest in really doing the hard stuff it takes to grow, and you take a lot of interest. You called us, and she didn't call us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying, oh, this isn't the right thing. But bear in mind that people grow when they're hungry to grow. That's what Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And evaluate your dating relationship with her, or am I doing all the initiative for growth? Is it 90% me doing the pushing for growth? That's not a good sign. But if she takes this book and she gets it and she's reading it and she's praying about it and she's seeing counselors, you got a winner there. Mm-hmm. Let's see how the fruit goes, Brian.
Also, Facebook Live and then on YouTube, I do a four-part series on raising kids after the divorce and maybe even blending a family, all the potholes there. You can join me 5:00 Eastern.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the Transformation Welcome Gift, which includes a personal-sized Life Recovery Bible, a Life Recovery Journal, and 5 Life Recovery Workbooks. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life Video Library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that it, not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Always great to have John here on the program. Always great to have Jill. You know, I've said Jill's the wisest female therapist I've ever been around, and her wisdom just gets better and better. She's written the book, The Secrets Women Keep, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. Those are all available at newlife.com, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'll tell you, it really is important that we not date people who are in a desperate stage, because if you're attractive to them in their desperation, well, when they get undesperate, you might not be too attractive. Or they may never get out because you're doing all the work for them. So we've always got to be looking and watching. What are we doing? Is it safe? Is it the right time to be doing it? Or we can end up...
Well, and not to make excuses for people's lack of responsiveness.
Yeah, we don't do that. Totally. And, you know, you give somebody some direction. When they don't take it, then you have to say, is this person kind of moving into that learned helplessness state.
Can I go back to your earlier statement, I think, around Lois, when you talked about, she referred to you about something about the insanity of dating or some great phrase you used. You can't think with the think. When your brain's in that state, you can't think in a way that helps you to make the thinker think better because the thinker's broken.
Mm-hmm.
So the one advice I give anybody who just sort of works fast and ADD, here's the one thing is, right now while you're not crazy, call the safest, loving, truthful friend in your whole life. It can't be your spouse, your mom, or your dad. It's got to be somebody else. Well, if you're dating, you won't have a spouse. And you tell that person, look, I'm sane right now for some reason, and I want to be accountable to you to talk to you once a week, and you must say the following things. How's it going with him or her? And secondly, what are the yellow flags? And if I keep telling you there's no yellow flags except, you know, well, she keeps a chainsaw by her bed. Besides that, it's really great. But you've got to be brutally honest. If you will allow them to talk to you about the yellow flags, not just the, oh, do they like to walk Labrador Retrievers on the beach? Do they like sunsets? But the real stuff, it will really save your life.
It will.
Yeah. That little thing. While you're sane, call that person. Write their name right now if you're listening to the radio show and think, I'm still sane right now. Right now before you go crazy again.
Well, two big problems when you're dating is if you're not willing for people to speak truth into your life, or you're willing for them to speak truth into your life, but you're not willing to do anything about it. Yeah. Those are big, big problems. So, boy, great to talk about dating here. How about we, let's see, let's go over here. And West Virginia, we talked there. Let's go to Steve over there in Irvine, California. Hey, Steve, how are you today? What's going on?
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi,
Excellent.
Steve.
What's happening?
I've been married for 30 years. I've been with my wife since we were 16 years old. And I have, 11 years ago, I got caught in a web of pornography and chatting online with people. And actually, I'll just be honest. I have an issue with same-sex attraction, and it's the most it's a lot of shame and embarrassment, even if I talk in a group of sexual addiction and recovery. The shame and anguish of the fact that it is same-sex attraction is just crippling.
Steve, thank you for your vulnerability and bringing that to us, and there is no shame in this room, but thank you.
Hey, I want to ask you a quick question before we go on, if you don't mind, Steve. Could I do this? Where do you think...
Not at all.
Just curious. There's no right or wrong answer here. But where do you think that attraction came from? What do you think might be a source, anything that you could point to?
I think it's part of how I developed and learned intimacy through 5 years of molestation between 9 and 14.
Oh, gosh. So hard.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so sorry that
happened. The problem is 11 years ago, we went through this, and we went through recovery and therapy and ended up doing marriage recovery, and our children were 9 and 11, and it was just a good time. I mean, we pulled together and we worked through it. The problem, this just she rediscovered some of my same issues just recently in May. And the kids were both home from college because of COVID, and so it was a bombshell, and it was very painful for the whole household, and now we're separated but living under the same roof due to finances. But I realize that the last time we went through this, I focused a lot of my energies on marriage and family preservation, and I didn't really do the work and be honest with anybody about my real the same sex and the more hard to discuss parts of my issue.
Yeah. You know what else? You didn't, back then you didn't do anything, but you didn't do anything ongoing either, see? So
no, I stopped. After the marriage was recovered, I quit.
Yeah, okay. So what's the question for us? I'm really glad that you've called here.
I feel like I'm in a place where I'm finally addressing the issue and I'm finally working on myself. But now both kids are back at school and I live in the same house with my wife, and I see that it has just absolutely destroyed her. And she's not just my wife, she's my best friend.
Yeah.
And I see how it's just crippled her. And then just the other night, she's not a crier, but she started crying and saying, this is the time we're supposed to be in our golden years and enjoying just each other. And you never once asked me for help. And I didn't because of the shame and just the, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but I never asked for help. I just tried to get through it and not get caught. And I don't know at what point I can ask her to look for therapy and counseling and help for her without it coming across as just being selfish, like I want her to get, like she needs to get fixed and I'm okay. But I don't want to see her hurt the way she hurts.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you, how far did you go in this relapse? What was the worst thing that happened?
Oh, I had a physical connection with somebody.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to start. I'll go to Jill, then to John. I really think you need to tell her that you, as you have, you feel horrible about what has happened. You think you understand why. You tell her you're going to go to every man's battle. There'll be several people there that'll have same-sex attraction. So you're going to go do the one-day thing that really can change the course, give you some insight you don't have. And you tell her, I'm going to get into a counselor relationship with a man, and I'm going to do the work. I'm going to go to a recovery meeting. And I'm not going to promise you anything, but my plan is to become the man that you and the kids thought I was, wanted me to be, and the man that I want to become. Now you have something to say to her, but just to say that you feel bad about it, I don't know that's going to be helpful to her. Jill, what are your thoughts?
But I think the realization, I mean, Steve, just like you are sharing with us, and it sounds very heartfelt, you know, that it makes sense to me that 11 years ago, your biggest concern was not letting your world fall apart.
Yeah.
Right? And preserving that. And then once you get back to that normality, it feels like, oh, okay, this feels normal, so we'll just continue on. Because normal for you was, you know, subverting that shame and just having that secret life. Right? So I think the awareness that secret life is bubbling over, right? And you can't keep it secret anymore because it's killing you and it's killing those you love. And that, like what Steve is saying, you know, it's not just words that you're going to say to her, it's actions. But to tell her that the worst part of this is seeing the damage that your hurt and pain and actions have caused her. And that you want to support her in getting the support that she needs, because obviously she doesn't trust you right now, right? She needs other people that can help her. Right. So.
Okay.
Well, hang on, because I want to hear from John right after this. And this is really, really tough. Mm-hmm. It's really tough on her.
Yeah.
You know?
It's time, Steve, to deal with this. Yeah.
You know,
and
Agatha
the resources
Christie,
are there, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Agatha Christie wrote a novel called The Moving Finger. In there, there's a great quote. It says, God doesn't really have to punish us. We're so busy punishing ourselves. Mm-hmm. So wow. often, the consequence of our behavior is such punishment. And I know when I paid for a woman to have an abortion, I thought my job was to convince God, nobody's ever felt worse about this. God wanted me to accept forgiveness and to help other people with the problem. That's the goal, to transform. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. My favorite Jay's here, Dr. John, Dr. Jill. Your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. We're talking with Steve. And Steve, what are you thinking about the stuff that we're saying so far?
I like the what she said about how to talk to my wife and to tell her what my goals are. I've started a lot of that work by finding, I was blessed to find a counselor that I think is just the right person. And I found that counselor through New Life, actually. It's Kyle Keffer, and that seems to be a big help. He's helped me.
Kyle Keffer is excellent.
Face the shame portion. Yeah.
I love Kyle, and I think you're on the right track there. And he's a good guy whose motives, I can guarantee you, are just, they're just right. So I'm really thrilled that you have that. So you're going to have to be patient with her, but you're really going to have to step up your game here. And I think just because you're working with Kyle, you're going to get some great direction. Here's the key. Don't let your shame direct what you're doing and shut you down. And that's very easy to do. You know, it's very easy to listen to the shame versus the Savior who died so you wouldn't have to bear all of that burden. John, Jill, anything else we want to say here to Steve? I'm going to send him a copy of this Sexual Integrity workbook that we have that goes along with Life Recovery. And I hope, and I'll send for your wife, Understanding and Loving a Person with a Sexual Addiction, and I hope that will help her. Anything else you guys want to add here?
Yeah, Steve, I have a Bible verse for you. It's always good to have a Bible in these kind of sessions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talked about trusting people's words, and he pointed it to himself. He said, if you look at me, evaluate what I do, not what I say. And that's what you ought to tell your wife. Is I don't want you to be a person of broken promises and all that. So don't even say whether you trust me or not. I wouldn't trust me if I were you. I want you to observe me, honey, and I will be an open book, and I'll answer any question about my activities or behaviors at any time 24/7. I want you just to observe my behavior. I know it's the only way this broken trust will ever be fixed again. And yeah. I would tell her that.
All right. I'm really glad you called. I'll send these to you here, and God bless you. I'm glad you're listening. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And the next Every Man's Battle that we've been talking about, well, that's going to take place over there August the 15th. Finding Freedom is August the 8th. Lose It for Life this Saturday, August the 1st. You know, I'm just going to squeeze in another phone call here, and let's go with Cornelia from Silver Spring, WAVA. The rest, hold on, I'll get to you at the next program. And if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Cornelia, how can we help?
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. I've been holding on enough. Wait. Okay, so I was involved romantically with I got involved with someone I work with. He assaulted me while we were on a job in front of a client, physically assaulted me, verbally assaulted me. He ended up catching charges behind that situation, and I just got word through the victims program that I'm registered with in PG County and Montgomery County that he's going to be getting out soon, and he wants to get in touch and he wants to hook up. And I'm saying, well, you're not well, you're schizophrenic, I'm bipolar, that's a situation that's waiting out, that's an explosion, and I don't think it's a good idea. We both lost a lot of money. He's been incarcerated for 18 months. But when he gets out, he wants to restart our business and see where we can go from there. I need some instructions on what to do.
No.
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 No. How's that?
No.
Three no's.
On so many levels. Okay,
besides three no's, Cornelia, what do you need? We want to help. So what do you need besides three no's?
Yeah.
We can help you.
You just did it for me. I want some closure. I'm not going to, of course, I've lost a lot of money on this deal. I'm not going to get a portion of my money back, not even a fragment of the money that we had invested. I was the main investor. I'm gaining an
investment part. Yeah, so, Cornelia, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, great.
Tell us why you would think it might be a good idea to get back with him. What would you think?
He sounds like sincere that he's changed. He's called me up recently, said I'm going to be getting out in the near future.
can we re-up our business? Can we get back together? Can we, you know, salvage, you know, what we've lost? And I said, you know what, just give me my money, but, you know, we can salvage, you know, what we've lost and cut the ties. So
I'm so glad you called us.
Harsh. So, yeah, so you, you know, might feel more comfortable watching him from afar as he reestablishes himself outside of your relationship because of where things were left, right? Why would you re-engage with somebody? Jail doesn't necessarily transform someone.
And, you know, the other thing is I like to leave people with a little bit of hope, too. And so rather than him feel total rejection, it's always, I think it's a good idea to say, but, hey, you know, as you continue to treat the problem that led to the assault and the you being in jail, you know, one day when you feel like you've really, really transformed this whole thing, hey, I'd love to get in touch with you, or, you know, let's talk again. But until that day, I just think it's best if we not be in contact, because you don't want him calling you every 15 minutes or 15 days either.
Right. And Cornelia, don't try to convince yourself that this is okay. So if you find yourself trying to convince yourself, that's a problem. Right?
Okay.
Or his pressuring, he's so convincing. Yeah, I can kind of see it his way. Okay. That's not a good situation. You're calling us already knowing what's right. You know what's right.
And Cornelia,
you just needed
us
to validate that.
Never is okay also.
You betcha. That's right.
Never
that
is
okay. That is true. What I said might be okay.
Might be.
Never is definitely okay.
So
with somebody that is in front of somebody else.
Care about you, pray for you. I don't think it'll ever work out, but have a nice life. That's not a mean thing to say.
No. As John has said so brilliantly, not all hurt is harmful. Mm. And sometimes you say something like that, it hurts the person, but it maybe is the reality check that they've been looking for. Well, if you can help us, 50 cents, and this book is worth more than 50 cents, I'll send you Growth Has No Boundaries. It is invaluable. I've said here when John wasn't around, I think it's got the best scriptural foundation for transformation, the need for counseling, and the outcome that can come when you're growing right here. So here it is, gift of any amount. It's the Christian secret to a deeper spiritual life. I'll send that as our way of saying thank you. If you want to join us, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. John Townsend, Steve Arterburn, and the next program, it's 1-800-229-3000. Now, I'll be on Facebook Live. As I said, I'm talking about parenting. If you're a single parent or thinking about blending a family, join me there at 5 Eastern Time, and then we put all of those on YouTube after that. This weekend, Lose It for Life. The it is not your spouse, nor is it the weight. It's the stuff inside. We're going to go to the heart of the matter, and we're going to help you deal with the stuff that's leading you to eat the stuff.
And then you get free of the it.
That is right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about that. Finding freedom, whatever it is that owns you, will help you get free on August the 8th. And you just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Next program, 1-800-229-3000. We love you. Thank you, Dr. Jill, Dr. John. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.